This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on February 11th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We will now turn to item number four, which is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Oklahoma Democratic Party, which is audit 12-06. We will have a presentation from, is it Crucia or Crucia? What's the
Crucia.
Crucia, okay. And Ms. Morcom. And we're also joined by Mr. Holloway. I don't know which one of you wants to take the lead, but whoever reaches for the microphone first, please proceed at your convenience.
Good morning, commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division's recommendation memorandum for the Oklahoma Democratic Party. And it consists of four findings. The findings are misstatement of financial activity for receipts and disbursements, misstatements of financial activity for 11 funds, reporting of debts and obligations, and record keeping for employees. We're available for you to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you for that presentation. Are there any questions or any comments? Commissioner Goodman.
We've discussed this. Just help me understand the draft final audit report of the Audit Division on the Oklahoma Democratic Party. So the DFAR itself was, I take it, provided to council or to the party of the Oklahoma Democratic Party, right?
Correct.
Okay. What is the significance and reason of stating at the bottom of page one? So part one, background. Page one, under commission guidance, the last sentence on the page. This audit report does not include any findings or recommendations with respect to Oklahoma Democratic Party employees paid with 100% federal funds and reported as such. What's the significance of that? What did that sentence mean?
It means that although the committee is required to maintain payroll laws for all employees, the commission has decided it would not pursue any where the committee paid the payroll with 100% federal funds and reported it as such. So if that was the case as of the date of the audit, then there would be no payroll finding.
Okay. So if I'm Mr. Reif and I received this, it would be fair for me to conclude, audit report is not going to recommend or make findings with respect to these people, to these this payroll.
If that's the way the committee reported it before the audit notification letter.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying I was given a copy. I'm putting myself in the shoes of the Oklahoma Democratic Party, and I received a DFAR to give me notice of where the audit is headed, give me an opportunity to respond,
yes,
give me an opportunity to request a hearing, you know, all the rights that we mm-hmm. grant these folks. And I'm told this audit report does not include any findings or recommendations with respect to employees paid with 100% of funds. Now, we've confirmed that they paid 100% federal funds.
Correct.
Okay, and it's a given that they didn't keep the logs.
Correct.
I understand that. Okay. Then we receive a memorandum at the commission dated December 7, 2015. And on page two of the memorandum to the commission. So the DFAR went to Oklahoma Democratic Party.
Yes.
Then the memo is written to the commission, right, after that.
And after the committee has a chance to respond to it, yes.
And they didn't respond?
No, they did respond.
Okay. Did they say, please don't make a finding as to payroll logs?
No.
Because they probably weren't alerted that it was going to be a finding.
Well, they did not request a hearing, and they also filed amended reports that materially corrected their 11 activity and moved the remainder of the $10,000 in payroll to Schedule B.
Right. And then Then a memo comes to the commission, and at the bottom of page 2 says, the audit staff recommends that the commission find that the Oklahoma Democratic Party failed to maintain monthly payroll logs totaling $201,551 to document the percentage of time each employee spent in connection with a federal election. Now, I'm not disputing, although there is some misunderstanding, I understand, because I wasn't here, but about what the commission meant by pursue. And whether it just meant enforce or whether it meant make the finding as well. But let's just focus on the mixed signals that the commission has sent to the Oklahoma Democratic Party on page 1 of the DFAR they received, and then the memorandum that postdates it to the commission that does recommend a finding with that respect. It just seems like it was a bit unfair to them. I don't know what response they would have made, whether they would have come and asked, please don't make a finding as to that. I assume that counsel is sophisticated. Mr. Reif is their counsel, am I
yes.
right about that? He's sophisticated. He understands there's probably not to be any further pursuit based on such a finding because all the money was paid 100% from federal. We've verified
yes.
that. Right. I just note that it looks a little unfair to send someone a signal that there is to be no recommendation or finding, and then to recommend to the commission that we make the finding. And I can see how that could have, in the volume of audits and the reports, it just these two little sentences contradict each other. And I guess I just commend to the commission consideration that we did not tell the Oklahoma Democratic Party that we were getting ready to make that recommend that the audit staff would make the recommendation or the commission would make the finding. So it just seemed like it was a bit unfair as I read it. I thought I would feel a little bit sandbagged by that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, the language that's coming from in the audit report on page 1 in the commission guidance, that's the same language as in every audit report mm-hmm. that contains a payroll finding. It's also information that we do discuss with the committee, usually starting at the entrance, do out field work. We also present it at the exit conference. So we always make them aware of the regulations as in this commission guidance, the language that as it pertains to payroll finding, whether or not it was paid 100% federal funds and reported as such. So they've always been aware of that. And like I said, it's in every version of the report. And this report is consistent with past audit reports with similar situation where the committee at the time of the audit reported payroll on H-4, and then after the audit, removed the payroll to Schedule B. Mm-hmm. And the ADRM would have the same recommendation.
Well, let me read on, because later in the DFAR, under finding for record keeping for employees, it tells this narrative history of the amendments.
Correct.
But it draws no conclusion when you reach the end of it on page 14. It talks about how all the funds were verified, they were paid 100% with federal funds. It gives the committee credit for implementing new procedures to keep logs. It says they complied with the interim audit report, but it doesn't make a final finding that, by the way, after all you've been through and after all the reports you've amended and after all the verification we've done, there's nonetheless going to be a finding that you failed to keep the logs. I mean, it's not clear in the finding for. So I'm just saying, as a lay reader, if I read this, I would say, yeah, that's all. Pages 12 to 14 is all accurate. That all happened. That's mm-hmm. a nice narrative. That's the story of our audit. That's the story of the amendments we filed. But I rely on page 1 that says there's to be no finding on that. And then then you write a memo to the commission that says, oh, make a finding for failure to keep the logs. Now, we may have done this way a dozen of times or maybe 24 times. This one's the one that caught my eye, and we ought to fix it here somehow. Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking to fix this somehow. And since I saw it and we know it and we're speaking about it publicly, my recommendation would be let's just take, in this instance, let's take finding 4 out. And then maybe we can write these clearer for people in the future to make quite clear that there is going to be a recommended finding for failure to keep the logs notwithstanding the fact that the commission has, by policy, decided not to pursue them thereafter.
I guess my only concern with that is we do clearly articulate, right. My apologies.
Oh, not a problem.
We do clearly articulate on page 13 what the legal standard is. And in the past, with some of the other committees where they've been impacted and it actually was highlighted as a finding, now we're going to differ for the same cycle. And I guess that to me is concerning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry about that. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you. I appreciate the point that my colleague is making, and I know that you weren't here when we started going down this road, but you know, this is a path that we decided to pursue. It's sort of a compromise path that recognizes that there's nothing in the regulation that exempts a committee like this from keeping these logs. I mean, we can't say that they did it right exactly. It's just that it's sort of a no harm, no foul kind of situation where they decide they don't want to keep the logs and they're just going to pay for everything out of federal funds and report it that way. You know, we're not going to ding them further on that. And this is, you know, this is the path that we have pursued, and I don't know how many audits, and I'm quite sure that some of those audits involve the same counsel. In fact, maybe the first one that we started down this road on involved the same counsel. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I don't think I'm fairly confident that he would not be sandbagged by this, and his client would not be sandbagged because he knows this is the way we handle these. And I share Ms. Orak's concern about our suddenly deviating from a path where we're making findings within the same cycle, one way for one committee and one way for another committee.
If I can just follow up on that, did we make findings? It's been a few years, so I just can't recall the audits that have arisen out of that particular audit cycle. After we voted back in 2012 to say that we were no longer going to enforce the failure to maintain the logs for employees that are paid with 100% federal funds, were there subsequent audits where we still made the finding? And those just weren't referred, or were the audits that arose out of the same cycle prior to that vote? I just can't remember off the top of my head.
In any subsequent audits after the decision was made, we never looked for the record keeping for the 100% federal employees. In these situations, what is happening is they didn't initially report them that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went out there, we had a finding. And in response to that finding, at the interim stage, the committees have come back and moved the reporting to 100% federal on Schedule B. And so that's where the rub is, really. This action is taking place after the interim audit report.
Commissioner Goodman.
Did I hear you correctly that had they reported this as 100% federal from inception?
Correct.
The auditors walked in the door. They wouldn't even look at for the logs. They wouldn't.
That's right.
Okay. Well, then hold on. So this is a little different than some of the others. It strikes me. Okay. Here, they may have misreported early. It got us looking. It got the log problem into the audit report, but it turned out that it was paid all federal anyway. And so what changed is the reporting of it, but the reality of where the funds came from. And so why do we need to make the finding if? To treat them equally, to treat them like other people who paid 100% federal, their problem was that they misreported it to begin with as allocated.
Well, that's sort of what we do. When people get it wrong in the first instance and then they fix it in the course of the audit, we note that in the audit report, and we do make findings about people who did it wrong originally. They fixed it. Obviously, that would be a mitigating factor if we were going to do anything else. But mm-hmm. I think we're being consistent here with how we treat other committees that start out misreporting, and then by the end of the audit, they've unwound it and reported
it. Well, but Commissioner Weintraub, here they didn't fix the underlying problem of where the money came from. They always paid 100% federal money. There was never a time where they subsidized their federal payroll with state money.
Did they? Because I heard the auditor say that they moved they moved the money.
No, the money was always 100% federal. It was
misreported as allocated, and they said, "Oops, we should have reported this as 100% federal." That's what got our auditors looking at it and steered down this road to begin with. Now, they then amended their report to report it accurately. Maybe there's a finding of a reporting problem here. But had they reported the true facts initially accurately, we would have never even looked for the logs because it was paid. Under the policy that the commission adopted, we would have never even looked for the logs. We wouldn't have even made an audit finding.
But this is a reporting finding.
Well, this is a log finding.
Record keeping.
That's the way we've treated it. Typically, when something is presented at the interim report, we don't change the title of the finding. We just draw it out with an explanation as to what happened. And so it's no different than a misstatement here. We did the same thing. If the committee, we go out there and the committees are misstated, we put in a recommendation in for them to correct their reports. They do. But it stays in the audit report. We don't take the finding out. So it's no different here with a record-keeping situation.
One way to resolve this is when they write the, what's the next final audit report? What's the next?
Proposed final audit report would be next.
When they write that, we could approve this with an instruction to remove this finding from that report, to remove a finding on failure to keep logs, because all's well that ends well, because, in fact, there never really was a problem under commission policy.
Vice Chairman Walter.
I mean, I have a little reluctance when you have a report and then you start removing stuff, but I'm pointing in the final. If it could just be a footnote pointing out what happened and just go on with this.
So I think typically it's at the stage where it's at the proposed final audit report where the commission then, if there's not enough votes for it, that it goes to other issues.
It could go to other issues. We noted this because of the initial report. We later found that it was a reporting issue, not a payment problem. And therefore, we moved it to other issues. And we could approve this whole audit report, and then with instructions that in the proposed
final audit report,
that this log issue be moved to other issues, along with the narrative. By the way, of how it came about, that's fine with me.
Right, and I would almost seek guidance from OGC. My understanding is, if you approved at this point, we would still go forward with our proposed final audit report. As audit sees fit, which is current, and then if the votes weren't there, then it automatically goes to other issues, if there weren't four votes for it. Lorenzo, is that correct?
Yes.
Would you take a strong suggestion about what you should see as fit?
So, and again, my one concern with this that I always try to is the consistency factor. Okay. With the language that we used, it's the same because we draw it from each and every report.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What if we were to split 3-3 on this one finding now at this stage? Would it then automatically go to other issues in the proposed final audit report?
Yes.
I believe so, but I would highlight to my peer. Ask.
Mr. Kell, I see that we're having is there anything that we should that would help us out in our consideration of the
question, because I was talking to you.
What light can you shed on this issue for us in terms of?
Should be split now.
Yeah, it should be. Yes. It should be now.
Okay.
Yeah.
The time is now?
Yes.
I don't know that we have to split over this. I hope I've convinced somebody that there's no there. And we would be treating them the same as other people who spend 100% federal funds. So I don't know that it has to be a split.
Ms. Morcom, I noticed you seeking recognition.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman Peterson. I also wanted to point out that we did have a case, an audit from the 2010 cycle, where the committee did originally report payroll as allocable on Schedule H-4. And then once the audit commenced, they moved it all to Schedule B, but that remained a finding in the audit report. The commission approved that the committee failed to maintain the payroll logs for the original payroll that was on H-4.
Was this issue discussed this way?
And was the approval before the November 28, 2012 vote that we took as a commission? Do we know when that was approved? Oh, Ms. Orrick.
It was the final audit report was approved on March 18, 2014.
Okay, so after. Okay.
Uh, I mean, it may not have been noted as a problem, and now we see it. We should catch it when we see it. Would be my point.
Well, and yeah, I mean, the question is going forward. How are we going to? I can see both. I completely agree with my colleague Commissioner Goodman that there's no harm here, and so it seems that there should be some recognition in the PFAR regarding that fact, because when you read this as it is, it looks like there's a record keeping violation. But I also understand the concerns about consistency, and so I'm wondering, not only consistency, but that there was this really is less of a failure to keep logs, and it was more of an initial failure to accurately report the funding for these employees. Trying to figure out what's the best way to skin this cat.
Well, I think two things. I mean, there could be clarification in the PFAR going forward with the language on the commission guidance page to probably more clearly reflect where the situation is and pair it up with what's actually in the finding of the report as well. Going 3-3, that's kind of your all's decision.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the audit program goes, I think there was clarification on the most recent audit program that was approved where I think the subject was brought up and it was addressed there. So
this really will be the last time. You don't think?
No, yes.
You don't think the changes to the audit book?
No, I think the.
It's or are there other audits out of the same cycle that we're going to have?
The same way. I mean, if we go out there in an audit and there's no records there for these employees mm-hmm. that are on H-4, it's still going to show up. Mm-hmm. And if the committee amends in response to the audit, it'll still be there, the same way. I think moving forward, we probably could, like I said, we could massage that language a little bit better to pair up between the commission guidance section on page 14 and the finding itself.
I mean, I have the same concern that Commissioner Goodman has that, what purpose does a finding have in that? I mean, it's... Let me just finish my thought. I'll forget it if I don't continue on, but then I'll recognize you. While it's true that the reg does require these that these logs be maintained, it's not a statutory requirement. It's a requirement to assist the commission in being able to identify whether or not employees were. Whether or not they had the right split between potential, to ensure that there was no subsidization of non-federal monies being used for employees who should have been paid with just federal funds, or whether they that there was an over-subsidization of non-federal funds for these employees. And when 100% of the money that paid these individuals comes from federal funds, there's just no concern over the statutory requirement that gave rise to this regulatory requirement. And so, in that particular instance, what's the purpose of having a finding just for finding's sake?
Well, remember when we first get out there, that there weren't any records,
yeah.
And when we compared it to how the employees were reported. We looked for the record, and there was nothing there. It's only after the audit that the committee has taken action, which kind of changes the narrative.
Okay. We'll turn
to
Mr. Holloway.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was just going to make the point that, I think the real rub here, as Tom's describing it, is that normally when the auditors go out, they're trying to determine if the records are actually there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the records are not there, then, of course, yes, that's a finding for record keeping. What makes this case a little bit different, I think the issue is being raised as to whether or not they actually had to keep mm-hmm. the records, because what we're saying is that they were paid with 100% federal. They were, in fact, paid. And so maybe the argument is that they never actually had to keep the records for that
mm-hmm.
because they were paid with 100% federal. So I think that's what the real issue. So what you're looking at, this is not the normal record-keeping finding, because the issue is being raised whether or not they actually ever had to keep the records
mm-hmm.
because they were paid. And so what the committee is actually doing, basically, what we're challenged with is whether or not the committee could change their mind. and say, oh, we just reported it incorrectly. We're just going to call this everything 100% federal. Okay. So I think that's what the real rub is.
Okay. Commissioner, Vice Chairman Walter.
It just seemed to me we kind of created this situation when we decided that we would essentially waive or overlook the reporting when there's in the representation or finding that it was 100% federal. So we that's what we do now. But if somebody my concern is that when you get on the field, you might find yourself a whole slew of things that ultimately could be corrected, but you have to, as a matter of profession, note everything that you find not to be correct. And they sometimes get corrected, sometimes they don't. But I don't think it's good for our process to then go back and delete them or erase them or that kind of thing. But to the extent they can be clarified later, then no harm, no foul. And I think the public or their counsel will certainly understand that. Certainly in this case, everybody knows now that we overlook records if it's 100% federal. That's what we do. So I'm concerned about trying to take this one incident and then developing a process that wouldn't be very workable when you get out in the field and find a whole slug of things that, and I'm sure you find some pretty messy stuff, and then, you know, it comes back and then you have to start erasing things. I don't think that would be a good idea. So I don't know in this particular case if that's what we're talking about. I guess my thought was you'd put a footnote in the final thing, or I guess we could move it to issues, but it seems to be kind of clumsy to move it to issues when it's just a matter of how we're trying to, I wouldn't call it clean up, how to try and emphasize the fact that that was just a something that was overlooked early on. And when you left the field, did you know? What did you know?
No, we didn't know until the response to the
until later.
Until the interim report.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Commissioner Walther. I think this is consistent. What staff is proposing is consistent with the way they normally handle something that gets fixed in the course of the audit. Now, yeah, I'm open as to whether maybe you want to change the title of the finding to reporting, make it a reporting finding rather than a record-keeping finding. If you think that would be more accurate?
At legal sites, I would imagine, too, if that were the instance.
Reporting of payroll? I don't know. But, I mean, it does seem to me that they did have a mistake, and they fixed it, which is good, and we're happy that they fixed it. But, you know, it was there to begin with, and that's the way we usually handle things that are mistakes when we start the audit.
Could I?
Yes,
Mr.
Commissioner Ravel.
Could I ask about, there is some remaining money. It's not as much, obviously, as what we've been talking about previously, but there is this amount of $10,511 in salaries that the reports didn't disclose, so I'm not sure whether that even a title would really be appropriate.
I believe
there's no longer any amount remaining. At the time of the response to the interim audit report, there was $10,000. When the committee responded to the DFAR, they moved to $10,000 to Schedule B.
So
there's no longer
moved.
Correct.
Okay.
What is the pleasure of the commission?
I'd like to discuss other issues at this point in time. So
Mr. Chair, I don't want to supersede the vice chair's role of making a motion, but if he wants to move it, I would probably then move to amend it to move Section 4 into other issues at this stage.
Well, it would be, I think another proposal would be to have a motion as to findings 1, 2, and 3, and then have a separate motion as to
finding four.
Okay. We could do that. Vice Chairman Walter, if you wanted to make those two motions.
Any further comment on that? What does that mean for us in the future, though? Let's talk about that.
I'm not sure if it has any.
I think things once in a while, like we vote for 125%, and then we always vote 100, and then we go through the process. Is that what we're going to do in the future now? Does everything go to issues when there's a record-keeping mistake early on?
I think there's not really a precedent being set other than that whenever there's a split on a particular finding, it just goes to additional issues. I don't think it necessarily modifies your procedures going forward. It's unique to this audit. We may want to talk in the future about, is there a better way of handling these sorts of situations, or a different way, or maybe this is the way that is the best way for the auditors to handle it. But I think if there's a split on that particular finding,
you're comfortable with it. You know, that I guess I'm a little more relaxed about it. It just seems like that I have to go through that whole extra step. It's kind of a pain. I don't know. I suppose there's three or four different things, and then are we all going to go to additional issues for everything that gets corrected, or was a time mistake or something like that? Because additional issues makes it look like there's something indecisive that came out of it because there was a deadlock. And so I'm just wondering if there's a cleaner way to do it. But, I mean, if you guys are okay with it, then fine.
Yes. Sorry about that, Ms. Orok.
I wouldn't say we're okay with it. We certainly will do what the commission would like. You're going to continue to see it in the same fashion for quite some time. In the future, the commission can make a determination about what we do as far as thresholds and whatnot. But again, that's a decision of the commission. We're just merely following what was outlined in the past.
Question for Ms. Orok. But Ms. Orok, does that mean that the DFARS are going to continue to tell people that there is no recommendation or finding? That's the issue?
We can attempt to par that up a bit better. The reason that that's there is that straight from the vote certification that was taken at that time, and we've had it there since the 2010 cycle audits. So that's merely our fact of trying to move audits forward and try to get them approved, and so we use the same similar language that we've used in the past.
Whether it's accurate or not.
It's what's stated on the vote certification. We can try to make that more clear.
Okay.
Because I'm just follow up on your questions, Commissioner Goodman, that it may be better or maybe more accurate to say that that no enforcement actions will arise out of employees being paid with 100% federal funds. I wonder.
If it's similar situations, if the same fact pattern happened again in the DFAR, we probably should be changing that language, especially in the commission guidance section, to more mirror what we actually have in the written in the finding.
I just want to make sure you don't feel like you're bound by the vote certificate. I can fully understand why you would use that, because that's something that's actually
it's a tangible
document. Yep. You don't have to guess. You've got something, and I'm wondering if there would be any objection from the commission about modifying that, just to make, because I think that's a clearer, it would be more accurate to say that it's not, because I think when you say findings, we're talking about audit findings, and in this case, I think it could be a little bit misleading, but could be confusing. And so to tighten that up a little bit to fully convey what that means, I think would probably be useful going forward, just so as to
we can actually go back and listen to the full audio as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
Chairman Walther,
for the motion, do we want to say that it goes to additional issues in this case?
I think what we can do is just do findings 1, 2, and 3. And I believe those will have 6 votes, and then make a motion as to 4, and if it doesn't get the required votes, then it automatically goes to additional issues.
Okay, so we want to go to additional issues.
Well,
I mean, we will go to additional issues as opposed to some corrective way to do it, which is fine.
So, and we can keep, this discussion alive about
for the next
how to,
go around.
Maybe there's, some better ways to handle this going forward, but
okay.
We can keep that discussion alive.
Okay, well, I move approval of findings 1, 2, and 3 of the recommendation, and that's
Is there any discussion on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, the motion passes by a vote of 6-0.
Now I'll move approval of finding 4.
All right. Any discussion on the motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No. The motion fails by a vote of 3-3, which means that finding 4 will be in the additional issues of the proposed final audit report. All right. Thank you very much for your presentation and for that discussion. And like I said, we ought to probably keep this discussion alive just to figure out how to make sure that we can have this as clear as possible going forward. That is the end of our substantive agenda, Mr. Staff Director. Do we have any management or administrative matters?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
This meeting is adjourned.